Zone, John. 1620 The Zone, 1620TheZone.com, 1620TheZone Bubble App. Let's talk a little NFL football. Eric Edholm, Pro Football Weekly, joins us now. What's up, Eric? How are things?
Everything's good. Just getting ready for tomorrow, heading up to Green Bay for Bears-Packers, and then settling in for the weekend.
Have you been, I got to be honest, the Bears have surprised me. Bears have been more functional than I thought they would be. Have they surprised you at all?
Yeah, I mean, if you burn week two and throw that tape in the trash, you know, the two games at Soldier Field, they've looked very good. And, you know, they were right there, could have beaten the Falcons on one of the last, really four cracks at the end zone there to win. Terrible in week two, no doubting that. Competitive last week. Now, granted, it was a Steelers defense that chose not to tackle on a lot of plays, didn't have two of their best defensive players, but... Yeah, I mean, given their shortcomings, they have performed better than I would have expected for the most part, even with an awful game at Tampa.
What do you make of everything outside of Aaron Rodgers? I mean, that felt like a game the other day with Green Bay where they went down 21-7 to Cincinnati, really weren't playing well, but it felt like Rodgers just kind of elevated and carried them to a win. Like, are you concerned at all with what's around Rodgers?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I wrote about that this week for PFW, and you know, obviously a short week this week, and down your top five offensive tackles. I mean, think about that. I mean, we don't know that whether Bakhtiari or Bulaga play on Thursday. Still some doubt about that. But I mean, the fact that they've been without, you know, these guys are all hurt, and they're right now down to a guy they just plucked off the Cardinals practice squad, and you know, somebody who started their first game in week two as well in McCree. So it's tough going right there.
Right.
Breaking in two rookie defensive backs. They've got, you know, Geronimo Allison had to be the hero last week. And, you know, they're pushing Ty Montgomery's workload, you know, to levels that are a little bit concerning right now. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. Defenders hurt, offensive players hurt, and Rodgers is asked to do so much there.
Eric Edholm, Pro Football Weekly. Which 0-3 start surprised you the most? The Giants at 0-3 or the Chargers at 0-3?
Yeah, I like the Chargers actually a little better coming into the season. I can understand why somebody would pick the Giants, right? I mean, they had the good defense last year. You know, they added another weapon or two in the offseason with Brandon Marshall, Evan Engram, guys like that. I still had my questions about whether this offensive line was going to play better, and really they've taken a step backward for the most part, so that's been disappointing. Maybe I was drinking the Kool-Aid a little too much for the Chargers. I looked at how many injuries they suffered last year, how many close games they had. You know, I figured, hey, look, you know, Phillip Rivers, Melvin Gordon, you know, those receivers, those tight ends, they're going to do something. And defensively, they may not be as bad. But it's the late game situations they can't seem to figure out again. Now, I know, you know, I mean, they actually hung pretty tough with the Chiefs. You know, I know it was, you know, it was a two-touchdown game, but one of those came in the final 90 seconds. So, you know, it was closer than it may have appeared, but they still can't figure it out.
Right.
You know, Rivers had a bad day. Just the offensive line isn't great. The defense gives up plays still. So just more Chargers woes, I guess, going forward.
Eric Edholm, Pro Football Weekly. Do you buy Kansas City as a Super Bowl contender?
I do, especially with the Patriots and Steelers struggling.
Right.
I think both those teams will get back on track. But, you know, they get the win at Foxborough. There, you know, if it comes down to tiebreakers, that's going to end up being huge. You know, the Raiders and Broncos play this weekend. That means one of those teams is going to lose two straight and be 2-2. You know, it's possible that they only get two teams in the playoffs in that division. So, yeah, I could see it happening. But, you know, teams that peak early, I mean, we've had some exceptions with, like, the Patriots, the Seahawks, a few other teams. You can go back to the Colts and Saints in 09. But, you know, typically the teams that we're talking about at the quarter pole being, hey, are they really that great?
Right.
They don't often end up in the Super Bowl.
Sure.
There's always that attrition that happens over the course of the season. People figure them out. You know, Kareem Hunt's workload could be an issue at some point. Alex Smith may come back to earth. Who knows? But they're getting healthier on defense. You know, that side of the ball can start making plays again. They did Sunday. There's a fascination about this team that I think is legit. The offensive line's been good. The big plays are in the offense now. And they can be that defense that they're snipers. You know, they'll get their interceptions and their sacks.
Eric, my eyes tell me I'm a little concerned with Seattle. Like, I just, you watched them so far. Like, are you, what's your concern level with the Seahawks?
Last week was so weird in that they were so giving on the ground. I mean, they gave up so many yards on the ground, and this is supposed to be a defense that can take over games. Like, week one up at Green Bay, I was there. I mean, they played a perfectly good defensive game. You know, they played well enough on that side to win, and they even dominated in stretches of that game. But, you know, Michael Bennett has been kind of missing since that game. You know, Sheldon Richardson, I don't know why he's not getting a little more snaps than he has since coming over via trade. The linebackers seem to be missing some fits. You know, the secondary is still coming into form a little bit. I haven't had a huge issue with them. But, you know, we know the issues offensively. The O-line is not magically going to get better in a week. That's something they're just going to have to work through and find solutions to get mildly better. But defensively, they took a huge step back last week. So, I don't know. I can't put my finger on it.
Right.
I'm trying to sort of call up there and see what the deal is with that team. But it's we now have issues on both sides of the ball, which is a huge concern.
So there are three teams in the NFC East at 2-1. I do feel like the Eagles and the Cowboys are better than Washington. Who do you feel like the best team in that conference is right, or in that division? Right now.
I picked the Eagles to win the division, but I picked them at, like, you know, I thought it could be like a 9-7, 10-6 kind of season where, you know, every team would be competitive. Now, I'll admit, I thought the Redskins might be a fourth place team, you know, kind of in that 6-10, 7-9 range, but that defense has played well now.
Right.
I mean, you know, I know they gave up some drives to the Rams, but clamped down in the second half of week one and were just absolutely fantastic against the Raiders. I mean, I could not have imagined that level of defensive performance. And, you know, now you've got Kirk Cousins rolling. They've been running the ball even without Rob Kelly. I tell you what, there's been some really good coaching for that Redskins team. I don't know that they're better talent-wise than the Eagles. We saw them obviously lose to them in week one. At times look a little shaky, but the Redskins team, the more I've watched them, the more I've been impressed with a lot of kind of spare parts and some question marks talent-wise. They're not bad.
Right. Is some of Cam Newton's struggles, especially last week, is he banged up? Like, what do you think of Cam right now?
Yeah, the thing I've noticed, I mean, he's obviously misfired on some passes, and he talked about it a lot before Sunday's game against the Saints. You know, but his quote was, "I got to stop missing these layups." And he's right. I mean, there were some throws there that he normally makes that he's missed on. They've also held back. You know, they know that he, obviously this throwing shoulder that he had surgery on, the labrum in the offseason, missed most of camp, did a little throwing on the side here or there, didn't play in the preseason. You know, I thought week one was fine, all things considered. I mean, they didn't play great, but, you know, you expect a progression. But last week, I mean, he took another step back. He had a poor game. Maybe he goes up to New England against the defense that's allowed the most points in the NFL. Maybe that's the cure he needs. But they're not running him the way they used to. They're not incorporating Cam as a running threat the way that they did previously. Last season probably had a lot to do with it, all the hits he took and everything. I wonder if we'll ever see 16 games of Cam Newton, the multi-tool threat. And right now, he's having trouble driving the ball with his arms, and he's got reins on him. He's got the training wheels a bit as a runner.
You know, I'm not sure, where do you come out on Jameis Winston? Like, there's you watch Hard Knocks, you watch him play, and you see everything there, but you also see a guy that can't quite get out of his own way still at times. He has three picks this past weekend at Minnesota in a loss. That's been a big issue for him. There's something about Winston that I can't quite decide if I'm all in or I'm not all in on.
Yeah, and you know, I remember talking to a scout who said, "Look, now, the scout said he thought that Winston was the best prospect in that draft." He said, "But he's going to be the type of player where, you know, 12, 13 games a year, he's going to look good. The other three or four, you're just going to have to roll your eyes, hold your breath, or, you know, I mean, it's going to be a roller coaster ride." I don't think that's going to be an every week thing. His weapons are good. I think the Bucs defense got shocked a little bit, and Winston kind of felt like, hey, I've got to go out there and just sling it a little bit. They still don't have Doug Martin. I still feel like, let's put that one to the side like we do with Derek Carr. Same thing. He had a terrible game. You know,
it happens.
Is it a one-game aberration? Who knows?
Right.
Is it is it something to be concerned about? I would say with Winston, maybe that concern's a little higher than with Carr, but yeah, that's the kind of game you look at and say, this is not top 10 quarterback material right here.
Right.
So we'll find out going forward if he's just going to get out of that little funk.
How about Jared Goff and the start he's off to? You buying Jared Goff's start?
It's hard not to, right?
Yeah, his numbers, yeah.
On the one hand, you say, well, it's Sean McVay's design, and oh, they've added all these skill position talents, and they've beefed up the offensive line. He's a product of the system. I don't know that you can say that fully. I've watched almost every throw he's made this season. I haven't seen all of them, but you know, you see a confidence that just wasn't there last year. And maybe having that system does give him confidence. Maybe having more talent around him, you know, gives him the belief that he can get this done. But, you know, he's throwing with touch. He's throwing with placement. He's escaping the rush as if he's sort of untrammeled. You know, like last year it looked like, you know, that third step would hit and he was out of the pocket. He was trying to run for his life. Right now he's a guy who's hanging in there, escaping the rush, moving around the pocket, and throwing accurately. So I love the vertical offense. I love the fact that they are stretching the field vertically and not just horizontally.
Eric at home, Pro Football Weekly. Eric, good to hear your voice. Good to catch up with you. Such good stuff. We'll do it again soon.
Sounds good, man. Look forward to it.
You got it. Eric at home, Pro Football Weekly, breaking down all things NFL. There's something about Winston. It's always weird how, and this happens sometimes, I've always bring this up in the draft. There are certain prospects in the draft that for some reason get viewed through the lens of a critical lens. So we're trying to figure out reasons why not. And then there are some people that get viewed through the lens of trying to just pick the reasons why they should be elevated in this and that. It kind of feels like we really collectively feel like, I feel like us as NFL consumers, there are times I feel like we're really patient with Jameis Winston. Like we're really, really always looking for reasons why and not why not with him. And I'm always interested in why certain guys get slid into that category and not slid into that. Like, there's really not a huge excuse for Winston to continue to kind of make the same mistakes. Now, you can have a bad game, and I don't want to overreact, but there's a part of me that feels like I'm just continuing to wait on Winston and give him the benefit of the doubt, and at some point he's got to start progressing. Good stuff, though, with Eric at home. Let's take a break. Got a crossover here in about 10 minutes. Got a thought? Hit me up. 402-951-1620. Hey, get 1620zone.com, 9 a.m. Friday for this week's Zone Deal. Halloween right around the corner. And we have your haunted house fix covered with 2 Scary Acres Super Combo Passes, good for all 3 haunting attractions. Normally $50 for only $25. Keep listening for a chance to win this deal. All right, take a break, come back. Game time.